It's round two, the divisional round playoffs.
Oh, boy.
And there is quite a bit to talk about. Don't worry, you've come to the right place. Mm-hmm. Good on you. We've got an entire podcast to break down the divisional round of the playoffs. So let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
Okay.
Wow.
Hello, hello, hello. Cannot believe you've made it to the Fantasyland Football Podcast. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us. Yeah. This is Zach. That is Badaki. And for the first time ever, Badaki, for the first time ever, we are in the same country when we are recording the Fantasyland Football Podcast all the way until episode 60. It took us 60 episodes, but we're finally in the same country.
Yeah. I mean, what a view you have there, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually incredible. Sydney.
If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, great way to listen to the podcast as well. Then you can see, obviously, in my background, that is the Westfield Center, and there's the tower. What's that tower called? I don't know.
West Point Tower.
I don't know. It's the tower where you can see the city. I am currently in a quarantine, a Australian-mandated quarantine. Yesterday, when I got off the plane, my wife and I got off the plane here in Sydney, and we were escorted by the Australian Army to our hotel where we are now serving a 14-day sentenced quarantine.
Mm.
But hey, it could be a worse place to stay. I'm pretty hyped with the view. I'm pretty hyped with the room we got. We've got obviously Wi-Fi. We can do the podcast. We just watched a national championship game.
Yeah.
We got the ability to play Call of Duty. So, I mean, there's worse places to be
in
the world right now than quarantine.
It's honestly only up from here. You know, like, once you're out of quarantine, at least we're right now, obviously, there's still a lot of talks. We're trying to find a space so we can both be recording in the same room together. Hopefully, that's for sure going to happen the beginning stages of, you know, next year's, hopefully, mock draft. Hopefully, we'll be talking about mock drafts.
I want to say something quickly, though. To anyone who's thinking about traveling internationally, don't do it right now. Unless the country you're traveling to and the country you're coming from don't have a quarantine, mandatory quarantine, because from the moment we landed to the moment we got to the hotel, which was a 4.5 hour, 5 hour process,
sheesh.
That's what I imagine hell being like. That's genuinely what I imagine hell being like. It's not the fire and everything. No, it's genuinely just waiting in lines.
A 4 hour wait process.
Never making it to where
hell.
You want to.
Wow.
Yeah. That is hell. We landed on the airplane. And by the way, that flight is 15 hours. After being on an airplane for 15 hours in the sky, we had to wait for like an hour and a half just to get the health officers to clear us. Anyway. Just a little advice. If you're thinking about traveling, make sure that you don't have to quarantine. Because, man, it's to say it's not fun would be an understatement.
Mm. It's hair, whack. It's gear, whack. The way that he talks, whack. The way that he doesn't even like
anyway, a
smile, whack.
I am in Sydney, so we made it. Man, it's going to be such a good year two for the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for the things that we're going to be able to do together.
For sure, for sure.
But obviously, if you're listening to this, it's probably Tuesday, the 12th of January. We're recording it late, late Monday. Let's talk about some news quickly to open the show, Badaki.
What is going on here?
All right, what is going on in the National Football League? This is your need-to-know news. Start us off with some bad news for most Eagle fans. Badaki.
Yeah, Doug Peterson, he's gone. Okay, he's out. They gave him the boot. They sat him down and was like, you're fired. They pulled the whole Donald
you're
Trump
fired.
Thing. Crazy. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
we obviously in our fantasy football league, one of them, we play with an Eagles fan, and same thought I had. He was like, "That is the only head coach that has ever gotten us a Super Bowl win, and now we just fired him." It is super interesting, to say the least, that this has happened. What, only 2 or 3 years after you won a Super Bowl, fired a head coach?
Yeah,
it's really interesting. It's really interesting.
I think he just really, really lost trust and confidence, and like
the locker room. Hey, I feel like the locker room, he just lost it.
Yeah, he completely lost it, and they didn't want him even. And I think that was translated to upper management, and they saw that when they were probably walking into the locker rooms after the losses, probably throughout the whole year, maybe the conversations he was having, maybe conversations players were having with management about Doug. It obviously doesn't look good, but I think what's funny about this is that there's talks about Adam Gase coming in to fill this position. I mean, you fired the only coach that can bring you a Super Bowl to your organization, and you're going to hire the guy that just freaking tanked it for Trevor. he'd even tank it for Trevor.
I know. Well, maybe the thought process for the Eagles GM is like, okay, who's the right person to start off a rebuild with?
Right.
That's right. It's head coach Adam Gase. Oh my goodness. For all Eagles fans, I just really hope that that doesn't actually happen. And as a Washington fan, I hope that this doesn't happen. Reports of Cam Newton. What could he be his landing spot in the offseason? Well, there's talks of Washington. That's from Adam Schefter. And I just want to say to Adam Schefter, please stop.
I see where he's coming from. You know, like, I know you don't like it. And, you know, I think we spoke about this earlier, but it is the most natural place for Cam Newton to kind of land. He has history with Ron Rivera. He led that team in Carolina to a Super Bowl with Ron Rivera as his head coach. Obviously, that was years ago when he was younger. He had a whole bunch of different pieces around him, but he has a history. I feel like he can walk in, sit down with Ron Rivera and say, let's do it again. Let's try again. And Ron is going to be like, you know what? I trust you. I trust you more than I trust Taylor Heinicke. I trust you more than I trust Alex Smith. Even though those guys are talented, he has that rapport.
I hate it. And I really don't want it to happen. And I don't believe it happens. Look, I think what's been very clear this year is Cam Newton is no longer a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Let's not paint it any other way. It's not a good idea.
That's terrible. That's a terrible idea.
Do not do it.
Is it? Let me just say really, really fast.
Okay.
He had no weapons around him. No one. He went to a team that was naked.
Okay. So you're advocating for Cam to Washington.
I think I am
advocating that it doesn't happen.
I'm advocating for Cam and believing that he's still a good NFL quarterback.
Okay, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I can respect that. I just want to respect it while watching that happen for another organization. So,
right.
Let's talk about the national championship. Last night, Alabama versus Ohio State. A lot of talk, a lot of hype. Justin Fields versus Mac Jones. Najee Harris, the Heisman winner, Devonta Smith. And one team held up their end of the bargain, and that was Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama just balled out last night.
Yeah.
And in particular, Mac Jones and obviously Devonta Smith. This dude set a record for receptions and touchdowns for an entire game in one half. Yeah. And then, of course, he came back in the third, got injured, didn't come back. He still was a player of the game. My goodness, this is a stacked offense in Alabama. And it's not crazy to say there could be 3 first rounders on that team.
No,
4, maybe 4 first rounders.
Yeah,
including Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, look, he's definitely. Well, this first of all, congratulations to this team. I believe that All these guys are talented. I'm excited to see where they're going to fall, especially Devonta Smith. I think we were talking about this watching the game about Devonta Smith and, you know, Najee Harris. I think that both of these guys, it's going to be interesting where they fall, you know? There's so many, like, I know you were saying that you don't think he can go in the top five. It's too early. You know, a receiver, it's been a long time since a receiver's been taken that early.
Yeah, I think the thought is more in the top five, man, you better not miss on a top five pick.
Right.
And what's historically been seen is these quote unquote can't miss wide receivers taken in the first round or even in the first 5-10 picks, and they turn out to be busts. And that is not, I don't think Devonta Smith will be a bust, but let's keep in mind, guys, all these wide receivers that were taken in the top five that were busts, no one thought they were going to be busts. Otherwise, they wouldn't have drafted them in the first five picks. I just think taking a wide receiver within the first 10 picks really sometimes can be really, really risky for your franchise, because you just can't miss with these first round picks or your franchise is going to suffer.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I feel like you take talent where talent is needed and where it's best. Obviously, these guys aren't generational like freaking a Chase Young or Andrew Luck or like anything like that. But, you know,
Devonta Smith could be, though. That's the thing. I saw Jerry Jeudy tweet out last night, Devonta Smith is the greatest wide receiver to ever play college football. That's a big statement from a former Alabama wide receiver. But in the first, let's be honest, though, Devonta Smith isn't getting out of the first 10 picks. There's no way he slips that far. And you're a Giants fan. You want him at 11, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, we have that
whole... So where's he going to fall?
I mean, obviously, the main picks right now are Eagles, Lions, Miami, Dolphins. That's what I see happening.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anyone else at the moment that needs a...
The other theory is that the Jets commit to Sam Darnold and they get Devonta Smith. But I think you would need to trade down, I think. That's too high to draft him at two. But then Miami's at three, and there's been talk about Miami. Hey, let's link back up with Tua. Again, that's really high. Like, Devonta Smith could change your franchise. But keep in mind, more often than not, I don't want that to happen, but more often than not, historically, that has not been a good pick for teams. Right.
I think it's going to be exciting when the draft comes around and we figure out where this guy is going to go. I mean, if he falls even later than that, that's crazy. But I think you have to remember this guy is not massive. He's 6'1". He's probably, I can't even think of a receiver that he can kind of compare to that's in the league right now. Who does he compare to? Calvin Ridley? Calvin Ridley is a little bit bigger than 6'1". He has he has more muscle. Obviously, Devonta Smith will put on more weight, more muscle.
I think that's a pretty even comparison. I think, you know, when I actually look at it, I think the best fit is Miami or Detroit. The issue is Miami's pick is a little bit too high to be taking a wide receiver, I think. So unless they trade back, I feel like Detroit might be the sweet spot. And to all the Eagles fans out there, the only reason I don't think that is the perfect spot is because you drafted Jalen Reagor last year, and you didn't get to see what he fully was. And I just don't know if you've got your quarterback situation sorted out either. So, but what about Najee Harris? I think let's quickly talk about him. You had some ideal landing spots that came to mind.
Yeah, look, the only team that I can think of off the top of my head right now is the New England Patriots. There's no one before this team, before the Patriots pick that actually is drowning or it really wants a running back. I'll get to the other options as well, but I think for me in my thought process is definitely the Patriots. I don't think they're sold on Damien Harris. Obviously, they just got him. He was hurt throughout the year. Sony Michel is not the guy that we thought he was going to be. And James White is still going to be that satellite back that's going to be pass catching the ball whenever it's needed. So I think he can fall, or he's going to fall. To the Patriots, I also believe the Cardinals is also a good pick. The Cardinals have the pick right after the Patriots. Obviously, they're going to figure out what they're going to do with Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds. Obviously, they traded David Johnson away last year for Kenyon Drake. There's a lot of those are the only two people that the only two teams that I see him falling to. There's no one else. There's really no one else.
I mean, the thing is, when you actually look at every franchise right now, there's not many teams who really need a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Najee Harris, I don't know that he's a first-round pick because of the running back market. I think his talent is, but right. I think he'll fall into the second.
Yeah.
And I personally think it's either Jets because they just need talent anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Cardinals, and I think that one makes a lot of sense as well. But man, it's really hard to find a perfect fit. Denver's, you know, we don't think Melvin's that guy. And Pittsburgh is the last one I want to quickly talk about.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. James Conner, great guy, but it's not the answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the running back room. And this could be the answer. Najee Harris could really give Big Ben one last chance. Can we win a Super Bowl? The issue was the run, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All year.
Absolutely. So. I think that if Big Ben stays, then they can go with the running back. And if he doesn't, then, you know, or if he if he stays, they go with the running back. And if he doesn't, then Harris won't fall to the Steelers, I don't believe. They're going to need to get a quarterback. They might, you know, get somebody to come in for the Steelers, a free agent or whoever. Taylor Heineke. To the Steelers.
Oh my gosh, I love Taylor Heineke. Taylor Heineke, you mean Taylor Heineke the GOAT? Taylor Heineke?
I mean, he was going to be the GOAT if he won.
Yeah, well, he balled out. I mean, look, you got to give respect where respect is due.
The GG's boys, thanks for playing.
Okay, man, that was kind of just a preview of what the podcast is going to look like in maybe a month's time. We're going to really go into depth on this draft this year. The draft prospects, how they could impact fantasy. We're not going to talk about Justin Fields just yet because there is so much to unpack, and that's not for today's podcast. But man, guys, there is so much good content coming for you. I promise it's going to be so good in the offseason. Last thing we want to talk about on news is Deshaun Watson. Now, there is speculation that Deshaun Watson might want out of Houston. There's been a little bit of division. Apparently, Deshaun didn't want the GM that's just come in, and he wasn't consulted at all.
Mm-mm.
And there's been one rumor in particular that I'd like to explore with you quickly, which is Deshaun Watson to Miami.
Okay.
And it's interesting to me because I personally think it's a no-brainer. Every Miami fan I've talked to so far is just with pitchforks defending Tua. And here's my argument to all the Dolphins fans out there who are doing that. Do you know 100% that Tua will ever be as good as Deshaun Watson? Do you know that 100%? Will he ever reach the abilities to carry a team that Deshaun Watson currently has? Because I think if you're honest with yourself, the answer is no. I can't say that will ever happen.
Right.
So we know who Deshaun Watson is. He is an absolute superstar. Look at the numbers he put up this year on a terrible Texans team. If you were to trade Tua, your first pick, which was the pick that you got from Houston, by the way, just give it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Personally, if you were able to get Deshaun Watson for those two assets, Tua Tagovailoa and the third overall pick, how are you saying no? Because that could catapult you into an actual contender next year. Miami fans, you could be potentially looking at a Super Bowl next year. That's how we would start talking about you.
Look, there's a lot of... I definitely see Deshaun Watson moving. I just don't know if it's Miami. Where I see him moving to, I really don't know.
Do you agree with my thought process there?
I definitely see it, and I understand it. The only way that happens is if this GM, the Texans division, the Texans owner, has seen Tua, seen his tape so far in year one, and says, you know what, we would like this man in our organization. Because I don't believe that you can, there's no way Tua is equivalent to the talent of Deshaun Watson.
No. And I know, right, but
and you're right that there's no way he is, but I don't think a draft pick or another player additional to Tua plus one is going to be enough for Deshaun Watson.
No, and the reality is, in a trade, if you the person who gets the best player in a trade normally is always the winner of that trade, right? Mm-hmm. And the reality is, if you're trading a star like Deshaun Watson, you're actually probably never going to win in a trade. That's just the reality. But think from a GM perspective, what do the Texans need? In all honesty, they either need to put all their efforts into building around Deshaun, which they are, but they don't have any draft capital. No. So hit an instant restart button, grab the third overall pick, which you gave away, and grab Tua. What could you do with that? That gives you so much flexibility. Is Tua the guy in your mind? Then ride with him. Give him Devontae Smith in Houston. Could you imagine starting that way? Devontae Smith and Tua in Houston?
Bro.
Is Tua not the guy? If he is for sure not the guy, then draft a quarterback at 3.
No.
You know what I mean?
I definitely get you. My perspective, the way I'm seeing it right now, the only way this happens, this is if I'm the new GM of the Texans, okay? I'm calling Miami. I'm sending you Deshaun Watson. What are you giving me? If I'm not hearing Myles Gaskin and Tua in the same thing, I need value, because I don't got a running back. David Johnson is old. I don't have receivers. I don't want Devontae Parker. Maybe you know what? Mike Gesicki could be good. I don't know. I really don't know. I genuinely believe that that's the case. I love that Deshaun Watson is going to. I believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be moved, like I said. I believe that Deshaun Watson is going to bring value in whatever team that he goes to. I just don't know where that's going to happen. I just don't know if that's going to be something that is going to work out. So I hope
yeah,
Deshaun Watson finds a good home, finds a better team, and can get him to the Super Bowl. I think everyone will be cheering if Deshaun Watson gets a ring.
All right, I agree. And as a Washington fan, I would, oh my gosh. You know what's funny is I would give up what we gave up for RG3 because, you know, to get Watson. I mean, could you imagine Watson on Washington? I just always think of, could you imagine this quarterback in Washington?
Bro.
Man, we would be so good. So.
There's no, I want the whole team. You want Deshaun, I want the whole team.
That's the thing, though. Like, you will never be the winner of a trade when you're giving away the star. That in the NFL, particularly.
What if you get two stars? What if you get two stars? You get two half stars at two different positions.
No, I don't know. Look, the reality is, Washington is probably not going to get him, but I would be so comfortable. Honestly, this sounds crazy, but I would be so comfortable giving up 3 first round picks and even 2 second round picks. And I know that's a lot. I would be comfortable because I know we would be such a good team. We have always needed quarterback consistency, and my goodness, Watson would absolutely be the answer. Could you imagine Deshaun Watson, Antonio Gibson, JD McKissick, Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, and then maybe another wide receiver we get in free agency. With the defense we have, wow. Talk about a really good team. I'm getting excited for probably no reason because I'm living in a fairy tale land. Anyway.
Would you have Deshaun Watson, or would you trade away Terry for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah. Absolutely. I love Terry McLaurin with all my heart, but a quarterback is way more important than a wide receiver.
Okay, so you're saying Deshaun Watson...
A quarterback can carry a team.
Yeah, you're right, which we've seen.
Let me ask you this quickly. Could you imagine how good the Texans would be if they had our defense this year? They were putting up 28 to 35 points most games. That's what I'm thinking, you know?
Right. Say no more.
So... I would be comfortable with it. I would hate it because I'm in love with Terry McLaurin. in a strictly professional way. Anyway, all right, guys, the best way to keep up with all things fantasy football and everything changing in the offseason is to follow us on all of our social media accounts. You can follow us on Instagram at Fantasyland Football. Twitter is at Fantasyland_FB. We are popping off on some TikToks, getting a couple thousand views, which is cool. Follow us on TikTok at Fantasyland Football to support us there. You can watch the show on YouTube and you can listen on any podcast platform in the world. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get divisional and talk about some matchups.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
All right, lots to talk about. We have four matchups to cover right now. It's the divisional playoffs. And quickly, just before we get into that, earlier in the show, I might have cut out for a couple minutes, maybe a minute. And that's because of the internet hotel Wi-Fi or the hotel Wi-Fi. So a big shout out to the Sheraton Hotel. Please, please continue to work Wi-Fi. But let's talk about these matchups, Badaki. Obviously, four matchups.
Yeah.
Eight teams left. So what's the first matchup we're going to talk about?
Rams at Packers. Obviously, you know, Packers had that first bye week, and the Rams coming off with that win against Seattle in Seattle. Look, let's talk about that game really fast. Let's kind of break it down and kind of evaluate it and see what we took out of it. What I saw out of this game personally, in my perspective, was that I believe that the only reason why this Rams won this game was because John Wolford got injured. Okay. Obviously he was driving, he drove them down. They got the 3 points on the board and he looked decent. I don't think that would have been consistent throughout the whole game. And I believe that the Seahawks defense would have had more turnovers, or would have had just a significant turnovers, a sack, fumble, a pick six, something, because he would have made a mistake. Okay, this guy hasn't played much football. So I believe his injury has actually saved this team to move on to the next round, to the divisional round. That's what I generally believe.
I don't agree. I don't believe that's true, because I think the reason the Rams won this game was because of their defense. Mm-hmm. They've got a really great defense. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are just leading the way for this team.
Right.
I don't think the offense was the reason they won the game. I think, honestly, if Cam Akers and John Wolford were back there, they would have won this game still. And I think Cam Akers is probably the biggest X factor in this game, because Cam Akers, he is that dude.
He is.
We have seen that in the second half of the season. He's that guy.
Absolutely. I think I definitely agree with you. I think the defense definitely took this game away from Seattle. But what I saw was that I just think that, I don't know. I just thought it was great, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I mean, I personally think John Wolford would have had just as good of a chance beating this team than Jared Goff did. Goff played very well with considering his thumb injury. I just don't think he was the reason that they won this game. But in all honesty, no one expected them to win against the Seahawks. So big shout out to them. How about against the Packers, though? Is there any chance for them? The Packers are the one seed. Is there literally any chance for them to win this game against the Rams?
I think so. Obviously, I think the Packers are the favorites. I think that the Packers are going to... I personally think they're going to win this game. The X factor, huge X factor, is going... The one thing I'm going to be watching is Jalen Ramsey against Davante Adams.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, it's either Jalen Ramsey is going to shut Davante out, where Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have to go to MVS, Alan Lazard, all these guys that, I mean, not that he doesn't trust, but has dropped the ball in prime time games in important drives, that he needs to figure it out. Also, Aaron Jones. Can Aaron Jones be this guy? Is Aaron Jones going to lead them? Can Aaron Jones show them, you know what, if Davante Adams is shut out, I'm stepping up? So I genuinely believe that the Rams could win here. I'm obviously leaning more the Packers side. I think they have more talent. Aaron Rodgers, he is phenomenal in the playoffs. But we just need to wait and see.
In all honesty, I'm just not sure that the Rams have the people to have a chance to win this.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
I'm honestly not sure they do have enough to beat the Packers. The Packers, there's just so much talent. The last thing I'll say is just the only reason the Rams have a chance to win this game is if they get to Aaron Rodgers. And the reason they might have a chance is because Bakhtiari, the best left tackle in the game, is out done for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I definitely see it. Once again, another thought process I had, Cam Akers. See, the Packers weren't doing great giving, they were giving
terrible.
Yeah, they were terrible against the run. And I think that can be a huge X factor. But once again, we have to wait and see. We don't really know what's going to happen. Obviously, I think we both kind of agree that we're going to see the Packers win.
It's Packers.
Yeah.
I think Packers win this game. I think they win. It's a little bit of a lower scoring game because I think this LA Rams defense is actually legit. I'm going to say 24-14, the Packers win this game.
I agree. I actually full-heartedly agree with that.
Okay. All right. The second divisional playoff game, which these are both on a Saturday, is the Ravens at the Bills. And I don't know. I said the Ravens will win this game against the Titans. And I also said that this was a monumental game for Lamar Jackson's career because there was a narrative that was going to form. He was either going to be the guy who can't do it in the playoffs or now, which I think is what we're talking about. Okay, he's taken the next step. He's gotten that monkey off his back. He's got the cloud over his head. It's gone. He has won a playoff game. He knows mentally he can do it. So I think Lamar is maturing before our eyes as far as the capabilities he has in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. I think he has obviously, one win under his belt. He has a couple playoffs games under his belt as well. He has a feel for the playoffs. This team is coming together at the right time. I still don't believe that they will win again in this game personally, but look, let's I kind of want to, my thing, it's not that I don't like Lamar, I'm skeptical because he doesn't really, I feel like this team can be very one-dimensional. Okay.
Yeah, I get that.
And I know Lamar is great. He can use his legs. He can throw the ball. He made a couple of bad decisions in the game. I think that, he won this game purely on his legs. He rushed for 147 yards, something ridiculous. He scored a touchdown. That was all Lamar. But if they stop Lamar from running, they contain him. Can Lamar be that guy that throws it? He can throw it. But who is he going to throw it to? I still don't see it.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I get it. And honestly, it's so easy because that's been the argument. It's so easy to say, oh, if they stop Lamar, they're good to go. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you have to stop Lamar.
Exactly.
And that's not something that a lot of teams can do. Here's the thing that's way underlooked with this team and why I feel like they have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, which, again, I'm tooting my own horn way too much here, but this is something I also highlighted when I said they would beat the Titans. And it was true. The defense was underlooked.
Right.
And they shut down the league's leader in rushing yards, Derrick Henry. One of the only teams this year to really shut him down properly. Derrick Henry had 18 carries for 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
If the secondary can hold up against Josh Allen, I really think this Ravens team has a chance because I don't believe in this Bills defense. I really don't believe this Bills defense has been consistent enough to stop someone like Lamar Jackson. I'm not sure that they are that team who's just like, well, let's just stop Lamar. I'm not sure they're that team.
Right. I see where you're coming from with the defense aspect. I think we need to go on the other side as well. Can the Ravens stop Josh Allen? Josh Allen's been scoring. Josh Allen is, I think it's the exact same conversation on the other side of the ball. I think Stephon Diggs is a huge X factor. I think they're going to be locking down the key factors to lock down Stephon Diggs. Honestly, that's once again, it's one dimensional on the other side as well. It's Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. They don't have any running game. They don't have anyone else on the outside that can help them. I think it's going to be a shootout. Both of these teams can score. Mm. I think, yeah. You know, the Bills.
You know what makes Josh Allen so, so dangerous is there's not a better quarterback from the 5 yard line to the end zone, that small little 5 yards mm-hmm. in the red zone. There's not a better quarterback in the NFL to have on your team than Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Because my goodness, he can run it in. He's like Cam. He's very similar to Cam Newton, but you know, within that 5 yard line, but he's way better at throwing. He's almost the dream Cam Newton scenario.
Yeah. I like Josh. I'm excited for this game. I'm extremely excited to see what's going to happen here. I believe.
All right, predictions.
Bills win it. I think it's 35-24. Okay. I think they score a lot of points. I think that Josh Allen's going to find the end zone twice. Stephon Diggs scores once. Somebody else scores. That's how I see it.
Okay. I am going to continue to ride the belief I've had in the Ravens. Everyone said the Titans were going to win last week, and mm-hmm. I think that was probably, you know, understandable. I just think this Ravens team is better than people give them credit for. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens win. I think it's close. I think it's a 31-28 type of game. It has that feel to me. And I think Lamar continues to take that maturity. I think this is the last game the Ravens win in these playoffs, but I think they win this game. And I think most people will disagree with me, but that's okay. It's just a feeling I have. And, you know, in the playoffs, these are all great teams, you know? So it's not like you're choosing a team and it's like, that's stupid. No, these are all great teams who made it to the playoffs. So regardless, it's understandable, but this is probably the game I'm most excited to watch this weekend, to be honest, is this game. All right. What is Patreon, Badaki? Let's quickly say what Patreon is before we get to the Browns at Chiefs.
Yeah. Look, obviously, if you guys have been listening to the podcast and if you're new, welcome. Patreon.com/FantasylandFam. It's just a way to support the show. If this is your first time listening to the show or your 60th time technically listening to the show and you like what we're doing here, Patreon is a great way to support the show. You can go ahead on our website, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. Is just a great way to support the show. We have 3 different tiers. We're on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on all those platforms. And if you like what we're doing there, Patreon, once again, is a great way just to show love, to say, you know what? Hey, I like what you guys are doing. Here's something so you guys can continue and to build this community that you're building.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you believe in us, if you want to support us, that's the easiest way to do it. And we appreciate everyone. It's been an awesome first year. Let's get ready for the offseason because there is a lot that we're going to be covering. Okay. The third matchup, which is the first one on Sunday, Badaki. Mm-hmm. Browns at Chiefs.
Corvette. Yo, okay. First of all, before I say anything else, I believe that if the Browns beat the Chiefs, they win the Super Bowl. Okay? That's what I'm saying. I know that's not going to happen. Okay. I just want to lay my life on the line right now and say that if the Browns win the game on Sunday, they are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay? I mean, I feel like the logic makes sense. You beat the best team and then you will have a chance to be in the Super Bowl. That makes sense.
Yeah. So,
but let's be honest. This is where the train stops
mm-hmm.
for the Cleveland Browns.
Look,
there's no train route from Cleveland to Tampa Bay, unfortunately, this year, is there?
You never know. But look, obviously, look, what a spectacular win for the Browns. These boys came out to play. They led really early 28-0 or 28-3 in the first half. They knew they won the game by halftime. They started off extremely strong. Let's be honest.
Wow. 27-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah. 28.
Oh, was it 28-0?
Yeah, it was 28-0, 23, something like that. I forgot. But look, I think the biggest factors I took away from that was the run game and Baker Mayfield, okay? I think Baker Mayfield, if Baker's on fire.
Let's
right
put
now.
Some respect on Baker Mayfield's name, by the way. Let's put some respect on his name. Because we have the whole, let's be honest, football community. Everyone has put Baker Mayfield down, right?
Yep.
Everyone's done that. Let's be honest. You've talked about him that way. He has now won a playoff game. How many quarterbacks can say they've won a playoff game? It's actually not as big of a list as you would think it is. Put some respect on his name. And by the way, to all the Browns fans out there listening, what a time to be a Browns fan. After last year when you didn't make the playoffs, could you have imagined if I told you, don't worry, next year you're going to be facing the Chiefs in the divisional round of the playoffs? You would have told me, dude, I do not think that's going to happen. But here we are.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at
hey,
us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought? Honestly, like, Browns fans, this is what a year for you. Congratulations. You deserve this. You deserve this.
Yeah, look, I think it's spectacular. Once again, it was a big thing.
Massive.
Look,
the last time the Browns won a playoff game on the road was in 1996. DVDs weren't made yet, just to give you a reference of how long it was. So,
once again, it's a huge thing. I'm excited for Baker Mayfield. I'm happy for him. I think he's going to do amazing things. It is checking. Was something in the water?
I was just looking on YouTube. I was just like, what the heck is in my water? But it's nothing. I'm just not all there in the head sometimes.
Nah, so it's okay. You know, it's the jet lag. It's mental.
Yeah.
But once again, Dave Gettleman, he says you will only find out the value in your players after year three, and this is year three for Baker Mayfield. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Baker Mayfield won his first playoff game. Baker Mayfield is going against probably the best team in football. And if he beats the best team in football, he wins the Super Bowl. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Chiefs, obviously, they had the bye week. They're the number one seed. And it's all hands on deck, honestly.
I was going to say, after giving love to the Browns fans, it now makes it easier for me to destroy your dreams. Okay? Because I'm sorry, but there's actually no chance that you're going to win this game. There's just too many options for this Chiefs offense. The defense has improved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just as good as they were last year. But come on, guys. Tyreek Hill is a monster. Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the game. You've got Le'Veon Bell, who's still got some juice. Darrell Williams, who's been balling out. And then you've got Mecole Hardman. By the way, you have the best quarterback we've seen in our lifetimes, it being this old. Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to win this game. I, with 100% confidence, am saying that you're not going to win this game. So, I don't think there's a chance, Badaki. I know we should break this down.
Oh my god,
there's just not a chance.
That's yeah.
Is that too harsh?
No, it's fair. Look. I think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is going to dial a little something special. I think we're going to see a whole different team we've never seen in the playoffs before. A team that they're going to take it to the next level. They're going to bring out, the no look passes from Patty. It's going to be like a behind the back pass type vibe. Like I'm expecting something spectacular.
Yeah,
I'm expecting the Rockets to come out and say congratulations. I don't know why they would say congratulations, but because they're probably going to win the Super Bowl, but.
Right.
I get it.
Well, the Browns are the Browns. Jokes. Hopefully you understand that reference, because obviously that was what a young Juju Smith-Schuster said before his team got destroyed. Hey, guys, just want to let you know, we have a Facebook page now. You can find it facebook.com/fantasylandfootball. It's also in the bio of all of our social media accounts. And Facebook is actually so different. Maybe you follow us on Twitter. Maybe you follow us on Instagram. Facebook actually gives us an opportunity to allow you to be more part of this community. We are giving you the opportunity to post in our Facebook community. Maybe you could post things like, hey guys, this is a trade that I was offered. Should I accept it? Is it good? Is it bad? Hey guys, I'm picking this position in the draft. What do you think if I went with this guy? What do you think about the the real draft? This is your opportunity. We're going to be a part of it still, but it's your opportunity to have conversations with each other and be a part of the community in that way. It's not something that we can do on Twitter or Instagram or YouTube, really. Facebook.com/fantasylandfootball. Join. We're going to give you the opportunity to post in the group. We are going to post some topics of our own that we can discuss. It's just a much better platform to discuss things, isn't it, Badaki?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great opportunity. It's a great way to create community. I'm excited. I'm excited to see everyone that's going to come in.
All right, the last matchup of the weekend is the Buccaneers at the Saints. This one's aired on the History Channel. If you saw Tom Brady's tweet, he tweeted a picture of him and Drew Brees, both with beards, white hair. History's going to be made. I thought that was hilarious. But Bucks coming off a really good win against the Washington football team. And when you watch that game, as a Washington fan, it hurt because I'm obviously really proud of us. But there was not many flaws that you could find in this Bucks team. They were pretty good all around in this game. And I actually, we're going to talk about it, but I think they win this game against the Saints, personally.
No, I'm with you as well. I think the Bucks are a great team. Their defense is stepping up. The weapons around
Devin
them.
Devin White's coming back, by the way. Devin White will be back this game. He didn't play last game.
Yeah, he didn't play last game. And look, the main thing I'm taking away from this game, from the Saints-Bears game. We're moving on to the Saints really fast. The team wasn't explosive enough, even against the Bears.
No.
It felt very dull. Obviously, they didn't have to do much, but Drew Brees didn't do anything spectacular. You know, he threw a touchdown. Alvin Kamara ran in for one. It wasn't great. It wasn't a contending.
Shout out to the Nickelodeon slime, by the way.
Yeah, that was
but
weird.
No, you're right. You're right. That was weird to watch. But you're right. I was gonna say the same thing. I was watching that game and just thinking to myself, "Man, this is boring."
Yeah.
Man, they should really be like having fun out there, but they were struggling for a bit to get the ball rolling against the Bears, and I just think, if Tom Brady was on the other side with that offense he's got, man, if that's the way they perform against the Bucks, they will not win the game.
Yeah, and that's how
they have the talent to not perform that way, though.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's how I see it. I think the Bucks take this easily. Obviously, Brady with all his weapons, Antonio Brown was getting in the mix. Mike Evans was making spectacular catches. Chris Godwin was doing his thing, and Ronald Jones was running five to 6 yards a run, and he was looking great. I think everyone, everything was clicking on that
team.
Well,
no, sorry, Fournette.
Sorry, Fournette.
Ronald Jones didn't play.
Fournette, he was clicking. Everything was clicking. He was catching the ball. He was being that satellite guy. He was doing everything that he needed to do. And the Saints, obviously, once again, just wasn't there. Wasn't exciting. I'm not excited to see.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Brees go out the way he does. I think it will be exciting because it's going against these two legends. In the playoffs.
And that's what I was going to say. The only way that the Saints have a way to win this game is by Drew Brees' pure will and story. And as much as, that you could say, well, where's the analytics in that? Guys, you play the game so much differently when you know it's your last time out there.
Yeah.
You can say, play like it's your last time every time. But Drew Brees, knowing this could be his last game, that's really going to change the way he plays with heart and intensity. I think that is the only chance they have to win this game. So obviously Brady's got another year. I still think Brady has that mindset, but I just personally think that the Bucks win this game. I think Drew Brees retires, and I just don't think that there's really much else to talk about unless I miss something.
Let me ask you this. If Drew Brees retires, do the Saints trade up to get a quarterback?
No, they're not going to do that because they're a franchise that's been really good for a long time. You don't trade up and give up a bunch of assets when you have that foundation set now. You either find a guy in free agency, if Taysom Hill is really the guy, he's the guy, or you just kind of find one in the later rounds of the draft. I don't think that they would do that right now, especially with the amount of money they have invested in key players. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, some guys on the defensive end, obviously Lattimore. I just don't think that that's who they would be, to be honest.
Two people that came to mind, Matthew Stafford or Cam Newton.
Don't think Cam Newton's a fit. I think, you know, there's not, you know, it's not crazy to say Jameis Winston could have a chance to win that job if he resigns again.
He's not the guy, bro. He's not the guy. I don't think he's good. I don't think he is.
You got to keep in mind what people were saying about Drew Brees. Obviously, they're different players. But Drew Brees himself, when he was, when he signed with the Saints from the Chargers, there's a very similar narrative. So all I'm saying is I think they have historically been the type of team to find a guy and give him a second chance and see what happens. So it'll be interesting to see. But, man, I'm excited for this weekend. We both are taking the Bucks there. Anything you want to say to close the show off, Badaki?
I'm excited for the playoffs. Thank you so much for listening to what we're doing here. We're excited to continue to grow this platform. We're excited for year two. I'm excited for you to get out of quarantine. It's going to be exciting for you to see your family, which is great. See your friends. But I'm pumped. I'm excited for Super Bowl. Super Bowl party? Super Bowl stream?
Yo, I was actually going to say, my dad was like, oh, we should have a Super Bowl party at our house. And I was like, I'll let the guys know if they all want to come over. So
yeah, so Randy Dan Savage.
I think we should do it. I think we should hang out. It'd be awesome to watch all together with all the boys.
Yeah, I'm done.
Do not miss our next episode. We are doing running back busts and breakouts of the year. If you enjoyed the quarterback version of that last week, we are now going to do the running backs this week. All love. Have a great night. We will see you on the next podcast. As always, see you there.
See you there.
Hey. Yeah, you. The one listening to this podcast. You made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching. 'Cause you deserve it.